The market doesn't joke around, so why would you? Get serious. Choose Tastytrade. Tastytrade gives you the tools you need to make smarter moves. Dig into data with advanced charting, track profit accurately with order chain trackers, see risk clearly with curve analysis, and trade with low-capped commissions, stocks, options, futures, and more. All on one platform. No wonder serious traders choose Tastytrade. Join the club, genius. Tasty Trading is a registered broker-dealer and member of FINRA and SIPC.
Apple, Alphabet, and Meta now facing their first formal investigations under the European Union's sweeping tech regulation. Adir Dirbosa takes a closer look at what that might mean for big tech and Google in particular in today's Tech Check. Hey, Dee.
Hey, good morning, Carl. So past crackdowns on big tech in Europe, that's mostly amounted to speeding tickets or minor slaps on the wrist. We know this. But the Digital Markets Act, the DMA, it's different. That is why we may be seeing more stock reaction this time. You can see Alphabet and Google and Meta, Alphabet, which is Google, Apple, Meta, all down today. Now, the DMA is essentially European regulators going on the offense, identifying the so-called gatekeepers, laying out rules to try and prevent their future abuse of market power. The penalties also have more muster, and it puts breakups on the table, which would be incredibly difficult, but we wanted to take a look at where it might be less hard for some mega caps than others. Apple, for example, more closed ecosystem or walled garden than say Google, but also far more highly integrated. So how would it actually divest its app store? It's more complicated. It's also been less aggressive on the M&A front. Google, on the other hand, arguably less integrated. A breakup order could target separate businesses like cloud or past acquisitions. Its purchase of DoubleClick back in 2007 that complemented its core strengths in search ads helped cement its dominance in online advertising versus like a Beats at Apple, which sort of made a difference around the edges. For now, at least, though, the street in Silicon Valley seem less interested in how the European regulators could impact Google's current business. They're more interested in a recent development that I wanted to talk about. Last week, Google began testing its generative AI within the main Google search interface. I'm told that it was a very limited test and a small number of queries, but it's ongoing. Morgan Stanley writes it could suggest a broader rollout sooner than expected, despite that innovator's dilemma concern. That's what we've talked about a lot over the last month, the idea that it would have to sort of disrupt search in order to get ahead in Gen AI. The key part of that rollout, it continues to serve ads on the result pages, even within that Gen AI proposition. So that does ease some of the concerns that Google isn't monetizing it or moving aggressively enough. This is, guys, Gen AI in the wild, which a lot of the street has been asking for, with ads. So can Google have its cake and eat it too? I mean, that's a question. And over the last few weeks, there's been some evidence that it may be able to do that.
So how does it relate to the antitrust concerns, Deirdre? And ultimately, where the focus of these businesses is going to be? It, you know, Wilfred brought up the point that it feels like they're fighting the last battle. Everybody is now fighting over AI when the regulators are trying to say there are too many iPhones on the market in the U.S. and that there are app store problems. Same for Alphabet.
I think there's worries. Yes, the regulators are focusing on past businesses, but with the DMA, you could argue it's more forward-looking. It's more them going on the offensive. And the worry for investors is that that could provide a distraction like it did, or even a breakup ultimately, even though the chances of that are small. And I think when you see Google start to use search in generative AI, it's connected, right? So you have to ask that question. If search continues to be under pressure, under scrutiny from regulators, is that going to translate so easily to generative AI? That's a question to begin with. But if it simply transfers over, it could have trouble doing that and have implications for the monetization of Gemini.
Yeah, the balance between the long-term end game and also convincing investors every quarter that the search results in the business is healthy, it's going to be an interesting balance. Dee, thanks so much.
The European Union now launching its first official investigations under its sweeping new competition law, the Digital Markets Act. Among the probes, inquiries into Apple and Google's app stores and Meta's ad-free subscription model in Europe. Our Deirdre Bosa and Steve Kovac join us now for today's Tech Check. Steve, I'm going to talk about this with you first. We've been talking about the DMA for months, for years. At the end of the day, what does this mean for Apple? I know they've been preparing for this, but what we're actually seeing now, what is it going to mean at the end of the day?
If you're an Apple investor, there's a lot of stuff that you're going to be looking at here. But the most important one is the EU is looking into what's called Apple's new core technology fee. Now, because of this law, Apple has to let other app stores onto the iPhone for the very first time. You can download software outside of Apple's App Store for the very first time. But if you're a developer and want to take advantage of that and kind of evade some of the fees that have been historically in the App Store,
Apple's
App Store and do it through another App Store straight from the web, Apple's going to charge you 50 cents in euros every time someone downloads your app. That puts people in a position where if I'm a developer of maybe a free game that's supported by advertising or something, where I actually owe Apple more money than I'm making through my app. And so that has just really angered a lot of app developers. That is something the European Commission's looking at now. Is this right under the law? Because the criticism is it puts a chilling effect on people using these alternative app stores, which is not what the EC wants. And also for Apple, it protects their profits and their business model.
So other than eliminating that, what are some other changes Apple might have to make?
Yeah, there's the other one that they're looking at here is choosing default systems, especially the web browser. This one was a little confusing to me, actually, because Apple did make a significant change here. So if you're in the EU, you open the Safari browser for the first time, you're going to get a big honking pop-up window that says, well, maybe you want to use Chrome or something else as your default browser. The EC says that might not be good enough. So it's unclear how they can do better than giving you a big pop-up window asking you to choose. And as you can see here behind us, there's other stuff here. Google, Meta, that's a really interesting one. I'm sure you're going to talk about. For Google, it's self-preferencing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah, Deirdre, tell us about that. How do you see Google being forced to change as a result of this? I know they've also been preparing this for years. And how do you see the actual investigation differing from maybe what people anticipated?
So self-preferencing means that when you do Google search, it's going to give you their options first, whether that be for shopping or for flights. And this is something that has sort of long followed Google along. But I want to make the broader point, though, that this is just scrutiny on so many different fronts. We know that here in the United States, the regulators are probing its ad tech acquisitions. In Europe, it's the walled garden. And I think the fear for investors, for any of these companies, is that right now is such a critical moment. They're all so involved in this rush to develop generative AI products, yet they're dealing with issues of their core existing business or in the past that still needs to get sorted. And will that be a distraction? For investors, should they be so worried about this? I'm not sure. It's an open question because let's take, for example, Google has received the biggest fine of any mega cap from the European regulators. This is from years ago, $5 billion, which when you consider their entire sales for the year, isn't as much, certainly not as much as this DMA could enact, but they're still appealing it. So I think that's the other thing to keep an eye on here is that even though the European regulators are looking into these businesses for the mega caps, it takes a lot of time, even if they are moving faster and becoming more nimble.
What is this steering? What does steering mean in this context, Julia? I mean, Deirdre.
Well, it's steering. I believe it means that they're steering you towards their own products, this idea of conflict of interest and the idea that if you are using Google search, it is by far the dominant search engine, right? With 90% of the market. They can feed you certain results and they can self-preference. They can give you their own results, their own tools that they have there. And, you know, the regulators say that that's not fair. How does that give other rivals, smaller companies, a chance to get ahead when you have this behemoth Google directing you towards products that they also benefit from?
Now, Deirdre, I think you raised the key point here, which is that they're going to be able to appeal these different rulings. This is going to be something that's going to go on for years in the courts. But at the end of the day, the real question is whether this is a really bad time for the distraction, right? Now, we saw what happened with Microsoft and its antitrust suit, people saying that that's why Microsoft missed the moment to pursue the mobile ecosystem. And the question now is, what's really at risk here? Maybe it's not just these potential fines, these potential changes these are going to have to make, but what happens to these companies, these American tech giants, in light of the AI innovation revolution. So which of these companies do you think is most at risk, Deirdre, for being distracted right now?
Exactly. It's this idea, right, that they're all so busy playing defense. When do they have time to play offense and really move forward on the generative AI front, which is supposed to be the most important platform shift since the mobile era, since the internet, go back even further. Who's most vulnerable? That's an interesting question. I wonder if you would agree with me on this, Julia, that it might be Google and Meta because of their history of acquisitions. You think about an Apple, hasn't been quite as aggressive. Their biggest acquisition, I believe, was Beats. Didn't really fit into their core business, but you have Google, right, with its ad tech acquisitions that even the DOJ here in the U.S. says that helped them create this monopoly. And of course, Meta's acquisitions over the years, right, they've just become behemoths, whether you're talking about WhatsApp or Instagram.
Apple is not going to sit idly by and watch this happen. They are very aggressive. They're worried about their music franchise. I'm sure they're going to say that, well, golly, the EU, surprise, surprise, is favoring Spotify, a European domiciled company.
Yeah, and that's also what's also happening here is you have Apple getting they got an update from Spotify. You talk about that kind of complies with these EU laws. Apple hasn't approved or declined that update yet. So that is like another issue here. They're dragging their heels here. I can see them making some changes to the browser default thing. That's kind of an easy one for them to do. But it's the App Store stuff that really hits their business hard. That new fees that they are introducing here that kind of chills people away from using their current App Store model, that is what seems to be really upsetting the regulators in the EC. It's not a fair playing field, according to them. Apple, of course, says we are in compliance. We believe we're in compliance. By the way, all four companies that we mentioned that we showed that big graphic, they all said we believe we're in compliance, but it's not really up to them to decide if they're in compliance. So it's going to be really interesting. I think we got 6 months to find out the results of this investigation.
Steve, thank you very much. Deirdre, thank you as well.
Selling smoothies is what I do, but for small business insurance, I chose my State Farm agent. He's a small business owner, too, so he knew how to help me personalize my policies. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to an agent today.